Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Affiliated with a big league team. So, like the Richmond Flying Squirrels, everybody who plays for the Richmond Flying Squirrels is property of the San Francisco Giants. They're in the Giants organization. They're contracted with the Giants organization. I'm going to give you, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's about 10 different rules on here. They're doing it, again, it's in the independent league. The reason they picked the independent league is because you want a controlled environment, but you don't want to, I guess the thought is you don't want to be monkeying around with any organization's top prospects, right? I mean, you try to tell an organization that you're going to move the mound back 2 feet in the second half of the season. You think that organization is going to want their number one pitching prospect on that mound ever? No, never. Again, baseball can't get out of its own way, but I give them credit. They're trying. Did you know the Home Run Derby now pays $1 million to the winning player? Is that new this year? I thought money went to some fans. And each player, I remember the last time I paid attention to it this closely, is each player had, they're representing a family or a fan, and if the player won, then that fan won. But I hadn't heard that the players actually, $1 million to win the Home Run Derby? If I'm a young player in the bigs, I'm like, yeah, I got to get in the Home Run Derby. I don't know how this worked its way into our new rules, though. Home Run Derby, $1 million to the winning player. This is brand new? $1 million, okay. See, I don't think that's going to get anybody who wasn't inclined to be in the Home Run Derby to begin with. I don't think any player is going to go, oh, you get $1 million if you win that? Okay, now I'll do it. I just don't see that happening, in part because $1 million? Okay. Yeah, I found that underneath my my couch when I was vacuuming the other day. There will be an All-Star Election Day starting this summer when fans can determine, this already happened, right? Where fans can determine the starting players in the All-Star game with 24-hour voting. How is that different than what they did? Do you know, Ryan?
I think that prior, it was a longer period. They left it open for a longer period. I think now it's just the 24 hours to pick the starters.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you think the NBA playground draft would work in Major League Baseball's All-Star game?
That would be hard. I don't know if it would.
Yeah, and I've heard people suggest, oh, it's easy, just do this exact same thing. Well, not really. When you're talking about pitchers and how many days off they've had and pitch counts and
possible injuries.
Exactly. I don't think that would fly. Not at all. Again, it's the Atlantic League. I've been giving it credit for the Sally League, which is the South Atlantic League. That's actually affiliated with a Major League Baseball team. So this is, again, it's independent. It's guys who are either, it's their last grasp, it's their last gasp trying to get back to the big leagues. They couldn't get a contract with any of the 32 organizations, so you go play independent ball, and you hope that you catch fire, and there's scouts at all these games, so you hope you can hook up with a team that way. But that's another one of the reasons that they did an independent league, because, look, you can't tell me you're not running the risk of injuring a pitcher by moving the mound back 2 feet. There's just no way in hell. And if I'm a big league team, I'm not letting my player pitch from 2 feet. But think about that. Just seriously, just your brain is a whiteboard. I want you to close your eyes and wipe the board completely clean. And just have a fresh start. You got it? Everyone relaxed? Nice and relaxed? Boom! Did I scare anyone? That's so juvenile, Mike. Although the NBA does a great job of marketing Kawhi Leonard, even though he has zero personality. What is the biggest knock on Mike Trout? Ryan, what would you say is the biggest knock on Mike Trout, the best player in baseball?
Nothing. I can't think of a single thing.
The commissioner of baseball has one thing.
What's that?
He doesn't market himself very well. Seriously, Rob Manfred basically said that. Well, Mike Trout needs to do a little more of his own. No, he doesn't.
He needs to get off the Angels.
Exactly. What has he played in three playoff games in his career?
If marketing yourself is, you know, and playing on the Angels is a little bit of a hard task. If he's playing for a big name franchise,
right,
like a Dodgers or a Yankees, it's a little bit easier to market yourself.
You know what I love, though, is that Artie Moreno wasted no time after the two monster deals with Bryce and Manny got done, because immediately after those deals were done, the very next day, if not that day, you've got another story saying, well, the next big name to hit the market is Mike Trout. Artie Moreno said, no, we're not going through this. Go ahead and give him his $8 gajillion and let's lock him up. I sure would like to see Mike Trout in the playoffs, though. He's played in three playoff games.
That might be one of the best deals Artie Moreno has done.
Right.
I mean the Pujols deal was just, I mean, that's 10 years. Like, that was terrible.
Right, because you knew when you signed him to that contract that the last 3-4 years, you're going to be paying for nothing, basically.
You're going to get no production.
I'll tell you what, though. He has been more productive than I thought later in his career. Like, I thought he was going to be one of those guys who, once you start losing it, you lose it in a hurry. He hasn't been that. He's reminded us the last couple of years that he's Albert Pujols. I mean, the dude's a stud, no doubt about it. Talk about Hall of Fame. If that guy's not unanimous, then I'm going to punch someone in the neck.
He hit a home run for a different team in his old ballpark and got a standing ovation at Busch Stadium. He got a standing O at Busch Stadium. His first time back in like something like 8 years, hit a home run and got a standing O.
How awesome is that? So, do you think when Kevin Durant goes to the free throw line for the first time at the Chase Center that the fans are going to chant MVP for him? Because you know that was a big part of why he left. Oh, ridiculous. Okay, we're rounding third. We are heading for home. We have two more guests, actually, in the final hour. We're going to be talking with Dave Benz. You might remember that name. He worked at CSN. And Jim Cosimore, who is now at NBC Sports Bay Area. He's doing A's pre and post. We'll talk to them next on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's 3:17 on a Sunday. I'm Michael Urban. We'll be together for another 42 minutes or so. 42 minutes too long for somebody in the 541. There's only 30 baseball teams, not 32. For a guy who covered baseball, you sure don't do any research. All right. Let's talk about rules. Actually, let's get back to that one text that I love so much. Where is it? You haven't memorized yet, Ryan? The one where I'm nowhere near as good as the Monday through Friday host, but I'm a good guy, so they'll let me hang around. Yeah, let's see. Can we just agree? Enough! I get it. The Warriors lost due to injuries. Stop it. Stop. Herbs, out of all the hosts, I can definitively say you are by far the most positive and very inclusive to your listeners and texters. That's what makes you stand out superbly. Not as good as the Monday through Friday guys, mind you. I'm just saying you're a good scrub. I added that last part. Rules. We're going to be talking with Dave Benz very shortly. He does Minnesota Twins pre and post. And the Twins just walked off the Oakland A's. Dave Benz joins us now, former colleague of mine when it was CSN Bay Area. He is now in Minnesota. And the Twins, during the last 10 seconds I've been talking, the Twins, Dave, I think hit 8 more home runs. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I know, I'm very, very torn. I have obviously some great Bay Area allegiances, and I want to see the A's and the Giants do well. But I was happy to see the Twins pull that one out today.
Yeah, are you as surprised as I am about the Twins? I mean, obviously, I don't follow them all that closely, but I do consider myself a pretty informed baseball fan. I did not see the juggernaut that is the Minnesota Twins coming.
Yeah, I didn't see them blasting as many home runs as they've hit this season. And, I mean, of course, the entire league is hitting a lot of home runs. But it's been a pleasant surprise. They went into spring training, and I thought maybe they could be decent if they could get something out of the rotation. And, you know, Odorizzi had, started the year on fire. Barrios, I think, is a legit, number one tier starter. Kyle Gibson's been up and down, but has mostly been up this year. They've gotten some pretty good starting pitching. The bullpen has been a little bit of an issue, and there's been a big clamoring of are they going to be able to address that? Right now this team looks like they legitimately should be playing October baseball, which will be really nice for an area that, has not seen a lot of success. I mean, you go back to the early 90s, the last time the Twins won anything, and really you have to go back to the early 90s to see the last time any team other than the Minnesota Lynx has won anything in the Twin Cities. So it's an area that's starving for some success.
The voice you hear is that of Dave Benz. He does pre and post for the Minnesota Twins. He also does the Timberwolves. You can follow him on Twitter. Very clever Twitter handle, Dave Benz. It's at @TweetDaveBenz. Where'd you come up with that one? Clever.
Well, there's a story behind that.
All right, I figured there would be.
I want to go down that road, but when we were at Comcast, before it was NBC Sports Bay Area, and it was Comcast, I had @DaveBenz. And then Jen Franklin, who was our media person at the time, our social media person.
My boss.
Said, we really want the CSN in there. So I changed it to @DaveBenzCSN, and somebody else came along and took @DaveBenz, and now I'm kind of just @TweetDaveBenz.
That sounds like a lot of effort, man, just for a Twitter handle.
Yeah, it's a lot of effort. I actually contacted the guy who has @DaveBenz, and he really did not. He's sent out like 5 tweets ever, but he was not interested in giving it up.
So this wasn't a LeBron Anthony Davis thing where $4 million and you get your number?
Yeah, well, he was kind of kicking the tires on that to see what I was willing to give. I actually offered him up. I think he lives in like Roanoke, Virginia, or someplace that's nowhere near an NBA city. I said, hey, if you can get to an NBA city, I'm happy to hook you up with some tickets, get your tour of the TV truck, maybe get on the floor before the game. He wasn't buying it, though. He was if I was going to offer up some Benjamins, he might have been interested, but it just wasn't that much worth it to me.
He's looking for cash. He knows all that money that's in TV. Dave, come on. Everyone knows everyone in TV is fabulously rich.
Yeah, we're rolling in it, man. We're rolling in it.
Hey, tell me what it's been like out in Minnesota. Obviously, a big change for you from the Bay Area out to Minnesota, but you've got, look, I enjoy watching the Timberwolves play basketball. I know some people probably think I'm crazy, but I like the vibe they got going. I think they're going to be okay in a couple of years. The Twins obviously came out of nowhere, but Minnesota is a sneaky good sports town.
Well, it's a great sports town. There's no question. The top tier team, as is in most cities, is the Vikings, and then behind that is the Twins because they've been there the longest. Mm-hmm. And it's a toss up: is it the Wild or is it the Timberwolves? And it's been the Wild because the Wild have been consistently the better team. But Minnesota, you think of it as the state of hockey, but it is a really good basketball town. And the year before last, when the Timberwolves broke their playoff drought, the team had something like 16 sellouts in a season, and people were rocking the apparel, and people were down with supporting the team. People like to support a winner, but it's definitely a very good basketball savvy town. And it's been unfortunate that the team has, been mired in inconsistency and failure for a large part of its history. And I think that the course of the team right now is in probably as good of a shape as it's ever been in, and certainly as good of a shape as it's been in during, which is, you know, going to be my eighth season coming up, which is mind blowing. But, you know, they've got, I believe, a great president of basketball ops. They hired Gerson Rosas, who was the assistant behind Daryl Morey in Houston. He took over a couple of months ago, and then they gave Ryan Saunders the full-time head coaching title. And there's been some, you know, great symmetry between them so far this offseason. The guys have been coming in and working out, and that has been something that just hasn't happened. Like, guys that, you know, have been on the Timberwolves, the last place they wanted to be during the summer is Minneapolis. But the guys have regularly been there, and I'm hoping that there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic that this could pay dividends on the court. But at the end of the day, too, Herbs, you know, you look at what's going on in the Western Conference, and, you know, I'm thinking to myself, shoot, the Warriors are probably a six seed.
Yeah.
And I don't know that the Timberwolves are, you know, as good as I think they're going to be. I don't know that I could say that I feel that they're going to have a better year than the Warriors right now. So it's a little bit daunting task being in the Western Conference.
So where do you see the Timberwolves in, well, first, where do you see Andrew Wiggins in 5 years?
Oof. I think we're going to be able to answer that question this year. I don't think we're going to have to wait 5 years. I mean, you know, it's been, is Andrew going to be able to live up to the expectations? And so far he has not. There's no beating around the bush. I mean, a guy who was number one overall pick in the draft and coming out of Kansas and, you know, such high expectations, and the athleticism is there. And Herbs, I'll tell you, you know, since he's been in the league, there have been a handful of games, and unfortunately it's only been a handful, but there have been a handful of games when I've left the arena and I've been like, man, I don't know if there's five guys in the league I'd trade him for. He's been that good. When the lights are on and it clicks, he can be that good. The problem is he has been wildly inconsistent. And is this going to be the year that he's going to be able to be reached? You know, that's the multi-million dollar question. But I talked about guys who've been in there and been in the gym all this summer. Andrew has been leading the charge, and it has been a stark difference from what we've seen from Andrew the last couple of years. I know that he has aspirations to play on the Canadian Olympic team, and he has largely stayed away from being part of the Canadian international team since he's been in the league, which has been a little bit of a head scratcher. I just think maybe that this is the year he's finally going to, you know, kind of mature into the player that we've been waiting for him to be. And if it doesn't happen this year, then, you know, I'm really nervous about it, because, you know, we're talking about a guy's going into his, I got to look at this, it's either a sixth or a seventh year that he's going into, you know, and by now it's time. It's time to be putting it up and starting to live up to that max deal.
The voice you hear is that of Dave Benz. He's a play-by-play for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He also does Twins baseball out in the Twin Cities. You can follow him on Twitter at Tweet Dave Benz. Let's stay with Wiggins here. One of the criticisms that I've heard of him, and I've heard this, a number of athletes, I've heard this criticism about him, and it stinks for the athlete, is the game comes so easy for him that it looks like he's not playing all that hard. And he's like, I've actually heard people criticize Wiggins for smiling too much on the court. It looks like he doesn't care. I mean, people are trying to read stuff into stuff that simply is not there. But you know what I mean? He is really, really gifted, and he does make the game look easy sometimes. So I guess some people take that the wrong way. Like, well, if he went hard, then he'd be even better than he is. He's an underperformer so far.
Yeah, I mean, I had a conversation with, I'm going to leave the name out of it, but I had a conversation with an NBA Hall of Famer who was one of the, you know, top 50 players when they did the 50 Living mm-hmm. Legends, you know, however, it's a long time ago now. But, you know, he told me when he was playing, and he was playing a team that was mediocre in the middle of February in a game that, you know, not a lot of people were paying attention to, and it was a night when he was supposed to go out and put up 40. He challenged himself to go up and put up 50. And just the motor on Andrew has not been there. Now, you're right. He is freakishly gifted, and he does make the game look easy, and he can go out and get 20, 30, 40, and you know, without really looking like he's exerting too much effort. And he's done that from day one that he stepped on a basketball court, let alone an NBA court. So I think that criticism, or, you know, that observation is probably accurate. I think some people can look at that and say it doesn't look like he's trying. You know, but at the same time, he has not been a guy who's gone out on a night when they're playing, you know, a lackluster Charlotte team in the middle of February and it's set up where he should go out and score 40. He doesn't normally go out and put up 40. He'll go out in a lot of nights, put up 16. And, you know, that is that's disappointing. And that clearly needs to change if the Timberwolves are going to take another step forward, because they need him to be the number two behind Karl Anthony Towns, and they need him to live up to the max deal that they're paying him.
Talk a little NBA basketball with Dave Benz, formerly of CSN Bay Area out here. He is now in Minnesota doing Twins, doing T-Wolves. He appears courtesy of the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls, connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. Dave, I would imagine over the past 5 years, at some point the thought occurred to you, why couldn't the Warriors have done this when I was in this market?
Herbs, you kind of cut out on me there. I'm sorry.
Oh, all right. I'm asking if over the past 5 years, if at any point you just kind of thought to yourself, why couldn't the Warriors have been this good when I was there?
Yeah, many, many times. Many times. But you know what? It gives me hope. It gives me hope that it's, you know, franchise like the Timberwolves that has been downtrodden for the large part of its existence has a chance to be able to take that leap. I actually have spent a lot of time in the offseason. I come back to the Bay Area quite a bit. So I've been kind of fortunate. I've been as spoiled as everybody because I've been able to, you know, get credentialed and go to the NBA Finals for five straight years. I'd rather be going to the NBA Finals in Minnesota, but getting to go to the games at Oracle the last 5 years has been kind of nice. So, I have gotten to enjoy a little bit of the spoils that the Warriors have given everybody. So it's been kind of nice to be able to be a part of that. And, you know, at least from a distance and as a member of the NBA community to be able to go check out those games without having to go too far when I'm staying in the Bay Area.
So when you're gone for, let's say, a year, you haven't been to a Warriors game, you come out here, you go to the Warriors game. Do you have it like this, Dave? Can you go to Raymond Ritter and say, you guys have given out 12 bobblehead dolls since I was here last. Where are my bobbleheads?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Ray is the best.
Ray is the
absolute best. I mean, and I'm not just talking about for NBA. I mean, sports, period. Herbs, you've been around, you know, sports a long time, and you've been around a lot of franchises. Ray is the gold standard for media relations people. And, you know, we've kind of, you know, had conversations internally amongst, you know, my NBA peer group, that we kind of think like the NBA should create a spot for him, or heck, even beyond that, like it would be smart for sports in general to hire Ray and be like, hey, go consult other franchises and show them how it's supposed to be done. because the guy is just next level. And, you know, so listen, if I wanted to get 12 bobbleheads from Ray Ritter, he would probably find a way to make it happen. He's that good. I would never want to take advantage of that, but he is that good that he would certainly go out of his way to try to accommodate it.
Okay, I'm going to email him right now and say, Ray, Ben's asked me to email you and send a bunch of bobbleheads. You can go ahead and send them to my place in Livermore.
Listen, I love sports memorabilia, but I don't, you know what, as much as I've moved, I can't have that stuff, man. It's great to look at. Last year, this is sacrilege to me, but I cleared out like so much of my sports memorabilia last year. All my Sports Illustrateds I've been saving for 30 years. I got, you know, it's like they're great to have. You pull them out every 5 or 6 years. You're looking at them. You're like, oh, this is awesome. And then you put them away again. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I hanging on to this stuff? So I'm downsizing and simplifying things.
I just moved last year, and I did not realize over my 10 years covering the A's and then a few years covering the Giants. Dave, I didn't even unpack three of the boxes that I packed while moving, because I know that it's just a bunch of Mark Ellis and Milton Bradley and Jack Cust bobbleheads. Yeah. You can have my Jack Cust, by the way. I've got doubles.
Just fine sitting in the box that they're in.
Exactly. We're talking with Dave Benz. He's out in Minnesota now. He used to do time here. Well, do time. It's not like you were in jail or anything. But he and I got to work together at CSN. How much attention were you paying to the Kevin Durant thing? Did he hold your season for hostage as well?
I can't say that he held the Timberwolves season hostage. you know, the Timberwolves were interested in trying to make a splash during the free agency period in the offseason and, you know, did not. To be honest with you, the reports were that D'Angelo Russell was somebody that was high on the Timberwolves' radar. So the fact that the Warriors ended up turning it into a sign and trade and getting Russell, you know, for Minnesota fans, that was a little bit disheartening because that was, Russell was a guy that, you know, Minnesota fans were thinking would look pretty good in a Timberwolves uniform. So, you know, I guess it affected the team in that way. But, I mean, everybody was paying attention to see what KD was going to do. You're talking about arguably when he's healthy, the greatest player on the court right now. And to see him, you know, go to another team, that just changes the landscape of everything. It does open things up a little bit in the West now because the Warriors, and once Klay is back and healthy, and that's going to be a long road back from the ACL, but once he's back and healthy and you still got Draymond and obviously Steph, you know, the Warriors are still going to be an unbelievable team, but they're not going to be in the air that they've been in the last couple of years with KD. So it kind of gives some other teams a chance to maybe think that, hey, there's an opportunity here. And, you know, the West isn't a slam dunk that it's going to be the finals in Oakland like it has been every year the last, you know, 5 years.
Yeah, for the first time in quite some time, the NBA is going to start a season without the Warriors as the prohibitive favorites. I didn't think that this day was going to come for another 5-6 years, but that's just because I thought Kevin Durant would be here long term. I like what it's done for basketball in general, though, man. Dave, let me see if you agree with this. I feel like, thanks in part to free agent frenzies, like 12 hours of this, once the deadline passed, once you could start talking and making deals official, in the first 12 hours, 48 players changed teams to the tune of $3.17 billion. I say the NBA has passed the NFL in terms of being a 24/7, 365, I've got to have my NBA fix every single day.
Well, I think worldwide, you're right. I think domestically, the NFL is probably still ahead of it, but the NBA, there's no question, the NBA crushes, and I mean crushes, the NFL in terms of a global market.
Yeah.
And in fact, the only thing that even comes close is professional soccer. So, you know, the NBA, the NFL would love to have the foothold internationally that the NBA has in China and throughout all of Asia and throughout, you know, Australia and, you know, and throughout Europe. I mean, the NBA, I was on vacation in Italy right after our season ended. And this was before the Raptors won the title or anybody even thought they might win the title. And I, you know, walking down the streets of Sorrento, Italy, I see a guy rocking a Fred VanVleet jersey. And it's like, come on, man. Like, so the NBA is, and that's why the NBA has all that money to be able to pay its players, because internationally it is such a huge success. And Herbs, I got to tell you, I mean, it blows my mind. I get tweets from people in Russia and in Poland and Australia and Japan, you know, you name it. And it's like there's people that are watching the Timberwolves games at whatever time of day it is, you know, in their part of the world. And they're watching games live. And it just blows me away. And it's something that I don't think the NFL has. I don't know if the NFL ever will have that. So, you know, in terms of a 24/7, 365 foothold, the NBA is in a really good place. And you know, domestically, I don't think it's that big of a gap, but I would still give the nod to the NFL. But, you know, you take a look at it worldwide, the NBA is definitely king in terms of the four sports here in the United States.
Dave, in the Twin Cities, rank the professional sports team. Like, is it, I think you alluded to it, it's a Vikings town first and foremost. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, there's no question. It's Vikings are number one, head and shoulders above everybody else. And then the Twins are number two. And, you know, it's because the Twins have been there the longest and they're the only team that has actually won a title. And so there's a lot of diehard baseball fans there. And then, you know, like I said, it's a toss up between the Wild and the Timberwolves. I think, you know, when the Timberwolves actually can build some consistency with winning, I think that they'll jump in front of the Wild. But the Wild have been the team that's more consistently been in the playoffs. So that has kind of given them the edge while the Timberwolves have, you know, been downtrodden for a long time.
Well, it's like out here, as you know, Dave, the Sharks make the playoffs damn near every year, yet they probably rank at the bottom of general popularity in the Bay Area.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's tough sledding in the Bay Area.
Yeah, it is.
The Giants have been a little bit down. They're showing signs of life now, and I'd love to see Bochy go out with one last playoff appearance. But, you know, you get three titles in 5 years, and the Warriors go to five straight finals and win three of them. And, you know, the A's have been to the playoffs, even though they, you know, aren't ever supposed to be good. They always end up finding a way to get into the playoffs. And, you know, even the Sharks have gone to the Stanley Cup finals, and you can extrapolate it down to Stanford going to big bowl games. And I mean, it is an embarrassment of riches, the amount of success that the Bay Area has. And it's funny because I think back to when Comcast launched in 2009, and I don't know the exact number, but the combined seasons of futility between the Warriors, Sharks, Raiders, 49ers, the Niners have had their good years under Harbaugh too. All the Bay Area sports teams, the pro sports teams, when you combine them, it was something like 180 straight seasons without a title. And then it was like, boom, all of a sudden the Giants won that one in 2010 and the floodgates opened, and it's just been an embarrassment of riches since.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit earlier in the program. My daughters are now 16 and 14, and they are in for a rude awakening once they become grown-ups, because unless, of course, the Bay Area continues on this run. But my oldest daughter alone has seen three World Series titles for the Giants, three World titles for the Warriors. The Niners have been to the Super Bowl. The Sharks have been to the Stanley Cup. It's like kids right now in the Bay Area have no idea how good they have it.
It's not normal, but it's you know what? Enjoy it. It's like when I was living on South Beach, Herbs, and my sister came to visit me, and you know, we're sitting in a pool at the Delano on a random Thursday afternoon, enjoying the ocean view and having a cocktail, and you know, big smile on my face, and my sister says, "This isn't reality," and I said, "It is if you live here."
Well, I'm so glad you're having a good time out there. You going to drop down an anchor in Minnesota? You see yourself retiring there?
Hey, man, as long as they're happy to have me, I've got one of 30 jobs that I am tickled pink to have. And, you know, I tell people I've endured some tough losses having to watch the Timberwolves. But you know what? I've yet to lose a game. And at the end of the day, I want the team to win. There's no question about that. And it is, you know, it can be depressing when you take on those tough losses. But Herbs, I'm getting paid to sit courtside and watch the best athletes in the world go up and down and play basketball. So as long as they're willing to have me, I'm more than happy to be staying there and, you know, provide a soundtrack to the Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins era and hopefully many years beyond that.
Well, I know everybody's happy with your work out there, Dave. I'm glad that you're enjoying the experience. When the T-Wolves come to check out the Chase Center for the first time, I'll make sure I get there so we can hang out a little bit. Thanks for your time, Dave.
All right, Herbs. I appreciate it, man. Good talking to you.
All right. That's Dave Benz. He appears courtesy of the Dialpad guest line. He helps Dialpad. Dialpad does. Not Dave. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, videos, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. Duke is in San Francisco. Duke is on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, man?
Herb, what's going on? You told me not to be a stranger, so I'm not going to be a stranger.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah. When I get a new good caller, I make sure they know they're always welcome. Thanks for calling.
I appreciate it, Herb. Like I was just telling your producer, he seems like a very nice guy, too. I was telling him I did this thing on the Damon Bruce Show. We always do this whenever a team is hot. And I do a little tribute to the team and the station like that. So, yeah, I know you guys really don't do shout-outs, but I shout out to D. Bruce. And my cousin, D. Smooth, he a big reason why I listen to 95.7 The Game. And I've been listening for a long time, listener, you know what I mean? And I was listening to an AM station, and he put me on to you guys. So he's a big reason why I bring a lot of my sports enthusiasts, you know, to the station. And I'm so glad that he introduced me to y'all. But I want to go ahead, Erz. I know your time is running short, and I'm going to run this by to y'all right quick.
All right.
And it goes a little bit like this. 95.7 The Game and the San Francisco Giants are hotter than up out of the fire red peppers made by Farhan Zidi. The Giants are for real. They are not Fat Geely. 13 out of 16. You got to be joking. They bat is smoking like they straight out of Oakland. But we're not. We're the San Francisco Giants. We're the city by the bay. Even the great Willie Mays stopped by to say, hey, hey, hey. Hitting fireballs through metal gloves, that's what they're doing. Look in the bay, Herbs, I think I see something brewing. 95.7 The Game. I love y'all from the Dukester. Y'all have a great day.
Oh, that's good stuff, Duke. Thank you for calling. Wow.
Is that for, love you, brother. Keep doing what you're doing, brother.
Did you write that down or just come off the top of your head like Hove?
I came off the top of the head with it at first, but then I write it down so I don't forget it. So, yeah, but that's what I'm going to keep doing, man, because I love y'all and I love what y'all doing for the Bay, man. It's a beautiful thing.
I'm back.
That guy that was telling you said that we was all fanboys. That was me that sent that text yesterday.
Oh, really?
All of us that are Bay Area fans, we all are fanboys of the Bay Area team. If you're a Bay Area sports fan, you should be a fanboy of your team, I think, you know. So I'm with you on that, brother.
Right on, man. Hey, give me a call anytime. I'm working next Saturday and Sunday. I believe it's the same hours. We're going to have a date every weekend, Duke. You call, you bust out some freestyle. We'll have a good old time.
All right, I'm going to do that. Right, we're going to make it a day, brother. You have a blessed weekend.
All right, you too, Duke. That's Duke in San Francisco. Are we still efforting to get Mr. Cozumore?
The A's post game has run a little too late. Doesn't look like Coz has any time.
You know what this gives us time to do, though? It gives us time to get into these rules, and I'm going to turn the rules into good for ball, bad for ball. Do you have the good for ball, bad for ball sound open?
It's time for good for ball.
Oh, that was outstanding.
Or bad for ball.
That is a disgusting act.
Here's Michael Urban.
Okay, we're kind of doing this on the fly. Oh, by the way, Duke, if you're listening, 831 texted in, says, wow, great call by Duke. Call more often. You've already got fans, Duke. All right, we do mean everything in life can be labeled one of two ways, good for ball or bad for ball. It's not just sports. It could be anything. For instance, I'm holding in my hand a bottle of Gatorade Zero, Glacier Freeze flavor. It cost me $1.32. It quenches my thirst. It restores the electrolytes that I lose working so hard in the studio. Gatorade Zero is good for ball. I want to make sure you know how to play, Ryan. Give me a bad for ball from your day thus far.
Oh, man. I can't even think.
Your life is so positive.
Yeah,
you can't.
So positive. Bad for ball. This was yesterday, actually.
Okay.
A glass of adult beverage, a glass fell out of my recycling and onto the ground. My dad was parking at my house to watch the Manny Pacquiao fight with me. And he ran over the glass.
Mm.
I reached down to pick up the glass, and it cut my finger, Herbs. That's
bad
for ball.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I think I'll get by.
Did Bobby kiss it for you?
Yeah, he kissed it. I had a Band-Aid on it earlier. Bobby gave it a little kiss. And
was it a SpongeBob Band-Aid?
No, sadly it wasn't. I wish it was. That would have made it good for ball.
You know, SpongeBob Band-Aids, you will heal 48% quicker than with a normal Band-Aid.
It's proven.
Scientifically proven fact. Okay, you said you have two. I got
a couple.
Seriously, fly by the seat of our pants. Go.
All right. Danny Jansen plays for the Toronto Blue Jays. He pulled up for his first at bat. When was this? A couple days ago. First at bat of the game. He's got a mustache. He struck out. Next at bat, he comes in. No mustache. Gets a hit. Good for ball, bad for ball.
That's outstanding for ball. If you played baseball for any length of time, you know how superstitious baseball players tend to be. You got a lot of time to think in baseball. You got a lot of time between at bats, time between pitches. It's just a way to fill the time. Hang on a second. Off the top of the dome, okay, I get it. Sorry. What do you think, good for ball or bad for ball? It's got to be good for ball, right?
Oh, has to be. That's great for ball. It's the Bull Durham, don't break the streak. I'm hitting bad with the stash on. Let's try it off.
Bobby looks like he's against it. What are your thoughts, Bobby?
Oh, no, I'm all in. I'm a very superstitious person myself.
Are you the kind that has to sit in the same spot on the couch, and if they're not playing well, you move to a different spot?
Oh, yeah. During all of the Giants playoff runs, we had a specific house that we went and watched the games at. This is my entire family would meet up at every elimination game. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So the 2012 NLCS, when Zito was about to take the mound in St. Louis, did you believe in Barry Zito? Did you believe he was going to extend the season?
I believed in the magic of the house that I and the couch that I was sitting on.
There so you go.
There's that.
Because it was the house. It wasn't Zito. It wasn't any of the players. It was the house.
It's all about Juju, man.
Shout out Bobby for keeping the streak alive.
Shout out Bobby. All right, you got another one for me?
I do. Earlier this week, Aaron Boone had a great...
Savages.
My guys are blanking savages. And he ended off his rant by clapping in the umpire's face and saying, tighten that blank up.
Awesome.
Are rants like those good for ball or bad for ball?
Well, I thought the game had kind of lost that, you know, especially with, look, that's one of the things, one of the reasons I'm against robo umps. Who are you going to argue with? You can't kick dirt on a computer. Well, I guess you could, but it would just, it, I thought Earl Weaver, who's the chain smoking guy from the Tigers, Jim Leland. I thought we were never again going to see good managerial snappage, but Aaron Boone, you know, his approval rating, like in the New York area, went up by 60-70% after that rant, just because he snapped and swore and tightened that S up. All of a sudden, fans love him.
The Yankees went on to hit 3 home runs that game after he got ejected.
They're effing savages.
They're effing savages in the box, Herbs.
Tighten that S up. Okay, now I'm going to turn the tables on you. We're going to get to these rules, right? Pitchers will be required to face a minimum of 3 batters in a game beginning in 2020. So you bring a reliever in for that lefty-lefty matchup. Well, if there's 2 righties behind it, you might want to think twice because that pitcher has to stay in for 3 batters. Is that proposed rule change good for ball or bad for ball?
Terrible for ball.
Why?
I think it's terrible. I think it's like taking away the shift. You're taking away strategic moves that a manager or a ball club is making to better their chances at succeeding. And I think that it's terrible for ball.
I agree with you completely. Bobby, how do you feel about it?
It's bad for ball. Off the top, if you're taking less or more responsibility away from the manager, I mean, that's their impact that they put on the game figuring out who they want to pitch to who, and taking that decision away from them then what's the point? We can just get rid of the manager salary altogether then, because you're just taking responsibilities away from them.
But I do see why they're doing this from an offensive standpoint and why they're trying to take away the advantage that you get on a lefty-lefty matchup, because nowadays it's all offense. It's all home runs. It's all hits. We want to see, you know, chicks dig the long ball, and they have, and they want to see, you know, more offense.
Yeah, but everybody raved about the All-Star game this year, and there wasn't a million home runs in that. Like, it was an actual real baseball game.
I agree. I see where you're coming from. I'm just saying I think that they're trying to change the game. It's like basketball, where they took away, you know, they added those touch fouls and freedom of movement, and it's turned basketball into such an offensively focused game where they're calling ticky-tack fouls every, you know, it's not the old basketball that we're used to, the bad boy Pistons, where, you know, you're almost getting clotheslined and you're going to get up, you're going to get in his face, you're going to tell him something, and the game's going to continue. It's soft.
And I think you guys both alluded to the fact that you're reducing the strategy involved. And look, that's part of what I love about baseball, is there's nuance in baseball. You got to be paying attention to see everything that's going on. If a manager has to think 3 batters down the road, it is like the shift. I think it's like the shift in a way, and it's not like the shift in a way. Bobby, you're the one who brought up the shift, right? Okay, you are. Do you think the shift should be curtailed in any way? Because there's talk about that, too. They might limit shifting.
No, I don't think it should either. I don't think the shift should be taken away.
I think the manager should be able to do whatever the hell he wants.
That's what it is. It's the freedom of the managers. They're supposed to have an effect on the game. And if you take away those areas where a manager can affect the game, then you might as well just have robot managers. which they almost do.
Robot umps, robot managers. Yeah, just, the whole game's going to be robotic.
Might as well just get robot players.
Yeah, what the hell? Robot people in the stands. How about that? There you go. Bitcoin. They paid in Bitcoin. Mound visits will be reduced from 6 to 5 during games beginning this year and perhaps reduced to 4 visits in 2020. Good for ball, bad for ball.
I think that's good for ball.
Why?
I agree with that. I get why the purpose of mound visits, why they're there, but I feel like the game times are dragging on a little too much. And I think that these mound visits, I mean, what, 2 mound visits is maybe a minute and a half, two mm-hmm. minutes. But I feel like they're trying to decrease, you know, the time, that, the length of these games in any way that they can. I think that that's doing it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, all of these changes designed to speed up the game, even if they all went perfectly, we're talking about at most 10 minutes shorter per game. That ain't going to change a damn thing. Not going to change a damn thing. All right, that's all the time we have. Bobby, you were tremendous today. Ryan, you were outstanding. The audience is always great. We are going to have the network take you the rest of the way. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.